How do you do, everyone? This is John Nesbitt for another chapter in this year's edition of The Passing Parade. And about the man who will walk in our procession today, two opposite stories could be told, both of them true. For the same man in this case was both a fraud and a sincere genius. And that is the clue to this review of our Passing Parade. Watching the review move by again, concerning the man who comes out of oblivion to live with us a few minutes today, first I could relate the history of a phony miracle man who murdered dozens of people who entrusted themselves to his care, he himself admitting that he had killed them. He burst upon the world suddenly like a thunderbolt, and he left it suddenly like a comet. His name was Franz Anton Mesmer. Mesmer. We take our modern word to mesmerize, meaning to hypnotize, from his name. In March of 1815, this man died, and we do not know whether Mesmer was his real name or not. We do not know where he was born nor when. He carefully hid all traces of his past and burned the records. Studying science, he took his first degree at the age of 14. He was a mental prodigy. By the time he was 20, he had graduated from four universities, and he knew all there was to be learned from teachers about the human body. There are hundreds of pictures of him in the museums now, and they show a man who was undoubtedly one of the handsomest fellows of his age. 6 feet 2 inches in height, wide shoulders, a high white forehead with brown hair sweeping back, very good teeth, a strong chin, and magnificent brown eyes. What Dr. Mesmer did at first when he came to Paris, no one seems to have reported. But suddenly the fame of this man blazed out like a sun over all of Europe. Old Benjamin Franklin from the United States, who was then in Paris trying to borrow money to help us beat the English in our revolution, wrote home to Philadelphia as follows. The Queen said she had discovered an amazing doctor who refused to give her a treatment without being paid a sum equivalent to £1,000. This delighted the Queen, who has invited him to court for his impudence. It seems he uses some form of electricity in his cures, and although I believed him a scoundrel, I tried some myself, and bless me, I feel much better. So I am forming an official committee to investigate the methods of this strange and perhaps wonderful man. He is known by a single word, Mesmer. So wrote our Benjamin Franklin. Now come on a visit to this strange and perhaps wonderful Mesmer. It is 2 o'clock in the afternoon of any day when he is holding a public consultation at his offices. He now owns an entire building, a small palace at the edge of Paris, and the road in front of it is jam-packed with carriages of the noblemen, and also wooden carts filled with straw belonging to poor peasants. Mesmer's offices are a kind of shrine, and from half of Europe the little wooden carts are coming in with the sick. He charges fantastic prices to the rich. He treats the poor for nothing. At 1 minute before 2, a pair of huge white carved doors open, and you are given 60 seconds to move inside to the vast chamber where Mesmer himself will shortly appear. Dukes and duchesses, counts and countesses, princes, peasants, beggars, blind children, lame women, dying old folk on stretchers. The entire crowd rushes forward through the wide doors, and the moment they are in, the doors are slammed tight and bolted behind them. We are now in an enormous hall, perhaps 70 feet long and 40 feet wide. The floor is black marble. The walls are draped in black velvet. And there are tables around, covered with oddly shaped glass containers, with wires leading from jars like wet cell batteries. 50 or 60 little white chairs are scattered around for the patients, and that is all. Through the crowd moves a group of silent young men. They are the apprentices of Mesmer, the neophyte. At 2:03, a bell rings. It rings softly 3 times. Now 2 men in black silk reach for a curtain. They draw it aside. And this is the clue for the master himself, who is about to make his dramatic entrance, the wonder worker of Europe, Franz Anton Mesmer. In a moment, we'll describe in detail the accomplishments by which this charlatan brought something new and perhaps terrible into time's passing parade. This is John Nesbitt on the reviewing stand again, and we can watch Dr. Mesmer at work. He wears a purple robe that falls clear to his heels. Under this, he wears a white satin court suit that blazes with diamonds and pearls. Over his head, he wears a long white wig, like that of a Lord High Chancellor in an English courtroom. Yes, it's a phony costume. It's vaudeville. It is like the entrance of an amateur magician in a neighborhood magical show. Yes, indeed. Then Mesmer begins to walk around the room. He stops only a moment beside each patient, touching their hands gently, smiling into their eyes, and perhaps running a bar of magnetized glass around their heads. And he does all this with such dignity and composure that newcomers stop grinning and they grow a little frightened. Mesmer moves rapidly around the room, on with his conjuring, giving an electric shock here, waving his glass wand around there, but now and then just prescribing plain, safe medicine. For he is no fool, and he never stops being a doctor. He comes near the end of his tour, around the hall, to where a blind girl from Flanders is waiting. An intelligent young woman of 19, come hundreds of miles with her father to see if the wonder worker Mesmer can diagnose the disease that has sealed her eyes. Well, he did restore, through placing her in hypnotic trances, the sight of the blind girl from Flanders. His pupils learned his methods, and they went out and founded Mesmer clinics everywhere in Europe. There were such institutions in New York and Boston for a time. Finally, there were 500 Mesmer clinics in the world, all rigged out in fancy black trappings and all, incidentally, paying a nice fat royalty to Dr. Mesmer for the use of his name. And then, suddenly as he had appeared, Mesmer was gone. The Mesmer clinics were closed, for the French Revolution erupted like a volcano, and men's thoughts were swept from healing to revenge and death. Well, nearly 15 years after Mesmer disappeared, a medical student from Scotland set out to try and find the place of his death. He was unable to find the place of Mesmer's death because Mesmer wasn't dead. He was alive and well. At Basel, Switzerland, that medical student heard that an old country doctor named Mesmer was working in treating the minor ailments of farmers and villagers and was always willing to help with the birth of a calf or a pig, country doctor or vet. And it was Franz Anton Mesmer, old now, tall and impressive as ever, calm and composed as he had been when he had stood at silken bedsides and gazed into the eyes of Europe's lost nobility. He received that student in a tiny cabin, and then, with all of his old skill at reading minds, he calmly told the student what he'd come to find out. He said quietly, "How do you wish to learn whether I was a scientist or a charlatan?" "Well, I don't know. I honestly don't know. Many I did cure, but many I must have killed. I think about them all here, as if their ghosts came to visit me by this fire. There was a child, for example, whose leg was poisoned, and I thought that magnetism was a cure then. I ordered it, and he died, and I killed him. And that famous case of the blind girl from Flanders, she was among the first whom I mesmerized without the use of electricity. But after I left, I wrote, and her blindness returned. My cure meant nothing." And the old man finished with these words, "There is a hidden power, yes, but I only caught a glimpse of it. The gate was locked and I had no key. But I know this, that faith can heal and faith can kill. That is all. It must be understood. Where old Mesmer the charlatan blundered, there scientists may one day march." Well, these words were his valedictory. He died 3 years later. And over the grave in the cemetery at Basel, Switzerland, on his tombstone, was placed a curious jingle of four lines. They are there today. Who ordered this to be printed there? That is unknown. But beneath that stone lies the dust of one who astonished the world. All of this rising up from the dream of that man whose tombstone is now half hidden by the weeds, and on which is carved, "He lived in glory, he died in shame. Forgotten his story, defiled his name. Franz Anton Mesmer, 1815. We'll return in a moment with today's footnote to The Passing Parade. Our footnote for today permits me to add to the Mesmer story this fact, that the material I used came from a little book, and this little book was written by that medical student who was the last man to talk with Franz Anton Mesmer, that is, the last medical man. Now, that book which he wrote had quite a lot of adventures. For 37 years after the book was printed, it was discovered in an old bookshop by a great French mental specialist. His name was Charcot, and he decided after reading it that perhaps Franz Anton Mesmer was not such a charlatan as had been thought. And this doctor in Paris repeated some of the experiments. Many were astounding successes and produced real cures. There began modern psychiatry. And a pupil of Charcot was named Sigmund Freud, which brings us down to the legitimate mental workers of today. This is John Nesbitt bidding a goodbye till we meet again.